why don't we get started? I want to welcome everyone to tonight's PPS Success Mentor teleclass series. If you're joining us for the first time, let me introduce myself. My name is James Phelps, and in addition to being your host for tonight's call, I'm the PPS Success Educational Coordinator. This evening, we are once again very lucky to have with us Vidya McNeil, who will be sharing her insights on strategic planning and how to do a SWOT analysis. If you've just joined PPS, or if this is your first mentor teleclass, I want to start off with a few words about Vidya. In addition to being Paul's business manager and a PPS mentor, Vidya is a personal growth mentor, business coach, and organizational consultant who helps both individuals and organizations implement specific business initiatives and strategies to achieve and sustain their goal of success. As a consultant, she has worked with a variety of organizations, including the Chopra Center for Well-Being, the Diana Foundation, and the University of California at San Diego. If you'd like to learn more about Vidya and the services she offers, I invite you to visit her mentoring page located in the PPS Mentoring Services section of our website at ppssuccess.com. Before we begin, I'll just remind everyone of two things. The first is that Vidya has put together a handout for tonight's call, which you should have received via email. Having that handout in front of you is going to be pretty helpful, too. So if you don't have it open, I recommend that you do so now. Second, we do record these calls, so if you happen to be in a high-traffic area or you're on a cell phone that might pick up some echo effects, I recommend that you mute your line until you have a question by pressing *6, and then if you want to join in the conversation, you can unmute your phone at any time by pressing any button on your phone pad. So with those little details out of the way, welcome, Vidya. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you, James. It's a pleasure, of course, to be here this evening and to be able to share some business basic tools that may help some of our listeners upgrade their own business practices and be able to take another look at their business and with some fresh eyes. And I want to thank you very much for the introduction. It's always a pleasure to work with you, James, and I think that our process together as business partners really helps to streamline our own objectives when it comes to running PPS and helping others do the same in their own businesses as well. And you are certainly a person who makes things a lot easier, and I'm grateful to have you on my team.
Well, thanks, likewise. And, you know, all of that is true, and on top of that, it's always fun working with you, Vidya, and I know that your clients must certainly experience the same enjoyment when they're working with you, too. So thank you for all that you do.
Thank you. Well, I want to get started, and as James mentioned before, this teleclass this evening is part of my business basics series. And tonight's class is about strategic planning and how to do a SWOT analysis. In tonight's class, you'll discover a common framework for decision-making, planning, and problem-solving. You'll learn to identify the obstacles and associated underlying causes, and you will also acquire skills and techniques to encourage strategic thinking. And I'm wondering who has joined us tonight, and if you are here on the line, I'd love it if you would introduce yourself and let me know what is it about strategic planning, specifically SWOT analysis, that you're interested in learning tonight. And anybody on the line, go ahead and unmute your phone and introduce yourself if you would like to.
Well, hi, Vidya. My name is Clinton, and I am calling from Calgary, Alberta. And basically, I've been running a business for a couple of years ago. I've heard of a SWOT before, and I feel it's time to do one. So here I am to learn about the strategy of running a business. I'm hoping.
Great. And Clinton, what kind of business are you running?
Well, I actually run a fitness business. We run boot camps specifically outdoors.
Oh, great. And how long have you been in business?
I've been in business for myself now 2 years. So actually, I think April 30th is my two-year anniversary in this particular business.
Oh, congratulations. Well, tonight I can guarantee that you'll leave tonight's call with a greater understanding on how to do a SWOT analysis, the benefits of that SWOT analysis, and then what's my next step after that. So the SWOT analysis is a fabulous tool. I use it quite often in many of my own planning processes, and it helps me to identify many parts of the process and the components that make up any of the objectives that I'm trying to measure. So one of the components to business planning, of course, is the strategic plan. And a lot of people don't think of business planning with a strategic plan. Most of us think of, you need a business plan. Well, that's true. Business planning is very, very important, but part of that planning is the strategic plan. And so I'd like to make a distinction right off the top here that there is a difference between the strategic plan and the business plan. The strategic plan is a way that we look at planning for the future. It is looking at more of the long-term applications of your business, the year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and more. So it's a lot more broad and general when we're looking at strategic planning, and but it's important in order for us to actually build our business plan, because strategy flows into our business. So we start with various foundations, our vision, mission, and our values. That leads us to our strategic plan. And the strategic plan then flows into our business plan. And contained within the business plan, you have other plans such as the marketing plan, the operational plan, sales plans, and on and on and on. So the SWOT analysis is an important part of the strategic planning process. It allows us to plan for the future, but it's also based on a way of thinking. And this time sometimes takes a mental shift. So to plan strategically, it's important to cultivate a mindset or way of thinking about a business or an organization. And often this requires focusing on the bigger picture, the long-term objectives, engaging in systems thinking. It's really important to develop that skill to be able to think in terms of systems, especially when you're running your own business. It also helps to, when it comes to identifying leverage. And what I mean by that is, how can we use what we have to our maximum advantage? It's both a analytical and a creative process. That's why I love business, because it's both. It allows both parts of me to bring the best of me into an arena where we can move a lot of energy fast. It also involves examining our assumptions about the way that we've done business. And it allows us to then examine the things that we believe about business or about our own business or about the way that we do business. So we really get into the thinking behind all of that. And it also takes into account that our thinking is going to be partly based on inaccurate information and or conclusions because of unforeseen change. So where do we start with strategic planning, and specifically with the SWOT analysis? Well, the very first question is, where do you want to be in 3 to 5 years? And that's an important question. Do you see your business expanding? For some, it may mean, gosh, I'm ready for retirement. I want to get rid of my business. I want to be able to sell it. For those that are starting new businesses, it's really exciting to look forward into the future and kind of imagine, okay, well, this is where I am today starting my business, but where will I be in 3 years, and where will I be in 5 years and in 10 years? So we start to really think about our businesses in a much more comprehensive way. And for those people who have been in business, say, like you, Clinton, for 2 years, you're probably hitting a pretty strong benchmark. Okay, you've mastered some of your processes, and it's now like, okay, where do I need to go from here to really take my business to the next level? And any time we do any kind of strategic planning, it's a good idea to use this tool. So the process of strategic planning integrates all the parts of effective strategic thinking into a results-oriented plan. We're really looking at how can we achieve the results that we imagine and what are the concrete steps that will take us there. But before we get started, let's explore the components that you're going to look at and measure as you apply the analysis. It's real important to get clear on the facts and all of the facets of your business that we'll want to look at. And we'll also want to conduct a comprehensive business analysis look at all the elements that make up our business. For instance, the sales, the marketing, the financial planning, the accounting, how we manage and administrate all of the regular scheduling and things like that. And if you have employees or any contracted employees, it's important to have policies in place that will also manage the hiring of employees, the firing, general management skills. And so we want to analyze that aspect of your business. Then there's your personal business skills. These might be oral skills, they might be written skills, they might be word processing or computer skills, and they might be other kinds of skills that are intangible. Your ability to work long and hard, or your ability to manage risk and stress. What about your family support? We don't often think about family support when we're thinking about our businesses, but that's real important to component to consider. Or, you know, sometimes people bring their emotional stuff into their businesses, and most often when I'm working with solo entrepreneurs especially, they are their business. They wear their stress, they bring their stress to work, they take it home because they are their business. So your ability to deal with failure, success, your ability to work with and manage others, your ability to work alone, these are all areas that we want to take a look at when we're doing a SWOT analysis. So conducting a SWOT analysis to objectively evaluate your current business at any stage means putting some attention on those areas that you might not have actually given much attention or time to. Oftentimes, we're really busy in our business. I know I am. I manage several businesses, so I'm very, very busy, and I have to be very impeccable with managing my time and my activities. Otherwise, things start falling through the cracks, and I'm sure those of you that are on the line have also experienced that. So the SWOT analysis begins to recognize both that there are internal and external factors that can affect the ability of any business to be successful, and therefore affecting the owner of that business as well. When I work with business owners and leaders, I really like to take a critical look at those personal, internal factors that they bring to their business in order to identify their strengths, so that we can build on those strengths. And if there's weaknesses, then we can find the resources that can best fill those gaps. So one of the questions that I'd like you to think about as you're listening to this, and if you have your handout, the very first question in the handout is, where do you want to be in 3 years or 5 years? And that's a real important question. And if you have your handout, go ahead and write those answers down. And for any of you that are on the line, more than welcome to speak up any time and share with me the answers to some of the questions that I'll be asking. So the first question, where do you want to be in 3 to 5 years? That's real important. Do you want to be in the same area doing business? Are you happy with the area? Do you want to increase your business by 50% in 3 years? Do you want to increase it by 300% in 3 years? Real important questions. But the next question is equally important. How are you going to achieve your objective? oftentimes when I'm working with my clients, they're pretty clear about what they want, where they want to be in 3 to 5 years. They just don't have an idea of how to get there. That's what stymies them. Oftentimes they've been doing the same thing and it's worked, but it's not going to work to take them to the next level because it just creates kind of the status quo. They've hit their ceiling and they don't know what to do yet. So this is an important question. How are you going to achieve your objectives, especially if you need to do something different? As you think about that, some of the things that we want to measure with the SWOT analysis is both the internal and external factors that can affect you, the ability of your business to be successful. Internal factors are those that can be addressed and that you have control over. This would include conditions that might be addressed by operating procedures and or management decisions. Or it might even be how you personally handle stress. When I work with business owners and leaders, we really take a look at those critical personal internal factors. They're critical. Now, external factors, which have quite a bit of influence as well, is the factors that you don't have the power to change, such as what's happening in the economy or government regulations, things like that, the community in which you live. Is it a prosperous community? What kind of industry is currently there? Are people well employed or are people losing their jobs? Those are external factors that certainly influence your business. And unless we take those into consideration, we're only looking at half of the business. So it's very important to look at both internal and external conditions affecting your business. Whether you are identifying a critical success factor as part of the SWOT analysis, here are a few areas for you to look at internally. Your own knowledge and expertise. Again, processes, procedures, and policies. How you're delivering your products and or services. You'd want to look at your relationships, and those would include relationships with customers, with vendors, colleagues, and partners. Also, where is your business positioned in your immediate community? This would also include your intellectual property. Since I manage Paul's check, managing his intellectual property is a big deal because he's such a creative genius. He's always putting out. So we have to have it managed in such a way. And then things go into the queue, and then we have a new audio and a new book, and pretty soon we have new products and things like that. But being a person who has, in my experience working with Paul, he's one of the most plagiarized individuals in the fitness community, and it's pretty shocking when we find out that people have actually taken his material and haven't given him credit, haven't even referenced him. So I have policies and procedures in place to handle copyright issues. Your personnel, I mentioned that. And, of course, your assets and your resources. Okay, that's a big one. A lot of people wonder, okay, if I want to grow my business, I can't grow it on the existing income that I'm bringing in. What are the resources? Where can I go get these resources in order to take me to the next level financially? We're looking for strengths within these areas that you can leverage into a competitive advantage and that can be sustained over time. And then we look at the same areas in terms of weaknesses. Okay. So before you determine where you want to go, you need to determine where you are. And that's the other thing that I come across often when I'm working with my clients. Many people are very future-oriented, and they're really not present in their business. So if I ask them key questions, they don't know. They don't have a clue. They don't have an understanding. It's not really fleshed out in their minds. And so my task as a coach then is to flesh all of this out so we have a picture, a really clear, comprehensive picture of the business as it is now. And so one of the first questions I ask is, what do you do best? Where is your strength? What is your overriding? What do you do best? And if I'm working with people in the fitness industry, it's usually that they're great trainers. And so what does that tell me? You know, that they can train people well. They usually have pretty good people skills. They have to interact with people all day long. But with those people, what they probably don't have in place are their policies and procedures, the back-end type of operations. And so things kind of fall through the crack. They might not have their finances together. They might not even know utilizing the best marketing avenues that could be available to them. So some of those areas we would then flesh out. So you'd want to identify for yourself, what do you do best? And then in the same vein, the opposite of that is, what aren't you good at as a business owner? What is your business not doing that it could be doing? Where is the weakness in my own business? Okay, so you start with the self, the I, and you extrapolate over to the we, our business, the bigger picture. And you start to create distinctions that way. A person might have great people skills, but they may not have the best operational skills for their business. Maybe they invoice late, or they are constantly late in meeting their clients. Okay, so they might be great when they're with their client, but then there's issues getting them there or afterwards. So we would look at that. As we go through the class tonight, your handout has areas where you can make notes, and go ahead and use these because I'll be kind of jumping all over the place. So what is a SWOT analysis? The SWOT matrix is usually segmented into four distinct quadrants. And in your handout, you'll see that there on the last page, there's a quadrant handout where you can see. And I've also included internal and external. So when we're thinking of our strengths and weaknesses, we're really thinking of what's internal to us. Okay, it's not external. And then when we're looking at our strengths and weaknesses, opportunities and threats, we're looking also at the external. Okay, so there's a few different ways that we want to start building our matrix here. Regardless of whether you're future planning for specific products and services, work, personnel, or any other area, the SWOT analysis process is the same. It'll take you through the same analysis. So for those of you who are on the call right now, I'd like you to identify the three internal and external factors specific to your business that are important to you in order for you to achieve your objective. Just three, internal and external. I want you to begin to think, what is internally going on for me and what externally is going on for my business? And go ahead and list those. Again, internal things could be, I'm not very good at, the factor that I'd like to focus on might be sales. So I'm not sure about how to price my service, or I'm not very good at negotiating. Okay, these would be weaknesses, okay, related to your internal. Your external might mean that my market is saturated. I have too many personal fitness trainers in my area, and we're vying for the same population. We're targeting the same market. We keep overlapping, and it's getting really tough. Or there's a industry that just closed down, and we've had 100 people lose their jobs in our industry, the primary industry in our area lately, and therefore things are really tight. People don't have as much money to invest in my business, and so we would want to take a look at that. Both internally and externally, you want to identify those three factors for your business that are important for you in order for you to achieve your objective. And that's going back to the first question, where do you want to be in 3 to 5 years? By taking the time to actually sit down and contemplate these areas, you'll start to expand the way that you think into more of a systems thinking. Okay? So, when we're looking at marketing, a lot of the clients that I work with come to me because they need help in marketing their business. Okay, I know what I do good. I know what I do well. I have a lot of confidence in that. I just don't know how to go out and market my business. I don't know what to do. Okay? Well, when we look at marketing, there's different aspects of marketing. There's advertising, there's promotion, there's public relations, there's also the sales process, you know, and there are plans to develop when it relates to your marketing. There are marketing strategies. There's copywriting. There's website maintenance. There's distribution. There's packaging. There is direct selling to buyers. There's indirect selling to buyers. There's also, when we come to marketing and sales, we really want to know what are our competitors doing. So a SWOT analysis can be excellent when we're looking at our business from that perspective. Okay? So if I'm looking at developing a marketing plan, and that's part of my strategy, and that's part of my strategic, my business plan, I would want to know who my competitors are. What are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? What kind of threats do they have to deal with, and what kind of opportunities might be on their plate? If we can gain the leading edge over our competitors, then we begin to take the lead in success for our business. And that's what we really want to do. Now, some of the other areas that you might want to take a look at when you're looking at building your SWOT analysis is your financial planning. How's your cash flow? How's your monthly financial? What are your relationships like with the bank or lending institutions? How are you managing your lines of credit? Do you have any? These are real important questions to ask oneself when doing a SWOT analysis. Related to financial planning is accounting. How do you keep your books? Do you use Excel spreadsheets, or do you use an accounting program like QuickBooks? Do you bill? How do you go about billing? Do you receive payment up front, or do you receive payment at the end? Do you invoice? So you're looking at accounts payable as well as accounts receivable. With accounting, you would want to track your monthly profit and loss, not just I made so much money this month. You really want to look at what does it take for you to actually operate your business financially, because there's a clear distinction between revenue and working capital and cash flow et cetera, et cetera. Do you pay quarterly or annual tax? That plays into how you manage things. If you don't, and if you haven't looked at that area, then there's a weakness there. With your administrative aspect of operations of running your business, how do you go about scheduling and communicating? Those are real important. Is phone your strength? Is email your strength? Look at those things. How do you personally handle stress? Is important when analyzing your business, as for you, the business owner, as an internal strength or weakness. How are your oral presentation skills? Your written skills? Do you use a computer or iPod, iPhone? Are you skilled at working with a computer and using word processing and Excel spreadsheets? Do you use a fax, or what other kinds of personal business skills are you strong in, and what is lacking? So as you take a look and begin to flesh out the various areas of your business, you want to use your SWOT matrix and go ahead and begin to list in each of those areas your strengths and your weaknesses. So let me talk a little bit about opportunities and threats. Opportunities and threats present themselves every day of our business life. Opportunities, of course, we want to capitalize on, and threats we want to mitigate as soon as we can possibly identify those threats. So whether you are future planning for specific products and services or in any other area, the analysis and the process is the same. You really want to take a look in a very comprehensive 360-degree viewpoint about what items or what opportunities or what threats might actually manifest themselves. It's key in strategic planning. It's key to any kind of planning. We want to kind of get a handle and look ahead. What's actually coming down the pike here that I need to be prepared for? I say that proactive management is much, much easier and much more fun than crisis management. Crisis management is a very difficult way to manage, and it will pretty much break any business if you maintain that kind of management style. So with the SWOT analysis, it helps us to visualize the analysis. As we fill in the areas of our strengths and our weaknesses, and we've identified opportunities and threats, both current and future, we get to be able to take this information and ask ourselves now the next question. How can I use and capitalize on each of my strengths that I've listed here? Likewise, how can I improve on each of the weaknesses? How can I exploit and benefit from each opportunity? And lastly, how can I alleviate each threat? If you have your handbook and your hand out in front of you, now is a good time to kind of jot down quickly one, two, or three items that will tell you how you can capitalize on each of your strengths, how you can improve on each of your weaknesses, how you can exploit and benefit from each opportunity, and how you can alleviate each threat. Like any planning tool, the SWOT analysis is only as good as the information it contains. So you can see why it's important to have a systematic way of thinking, and a way of thinking that will strategically pull this information in to a format, and now you can use it. Okay? Once we identify all of those areas, then we want to develop a plan where we can systematically address the weaknesses and systematically address the threats. Your strengths and opportunities will more or less carry you, and they're good for you to capitalize on because they'll carry you through the areas where you have to address your weaknesses and your threats, both internal and external. So as you look through this, you would want to then kind of loosely hold this as a framework in your mind, looking at all of the internal factors affecting your company. You would want to look at, again, those resources. What resources do I need to pull in order to make my company profitable? Also, you would want to look at your own capabilities. If I'm good in this area, but I'm weak in this area, it would behoove you then to find a resource to fill that gap. And the goal to this whole exercise is to identify your internal strategic strengths, weaknesses, your problems, and the constraints, and the uncertainties. The SWOT matrix itself, the reason why it's set into these four quadrants, helps to provide a visual tool for the analysis. When executing this analysis, it is important to understand how these elements work together. Oftentimes, what I find when I'm working with, when I'm doing this process, the paradox is that sometimes my strengths internally are also my weaknesses. And you will see that in yourself when you start using this tool in this way. You will see that there's two sides of the coin, and they mirror each other. Okay? And that's real important, because as you begin to see that, you will also begin to experience yourself as much bigger than you previously have. And you will also experience your business having far more facets than you might have previously thought of in your businesses, in your business. So when an organization matches your internal strengths to the external opportunities, it creates core competency in meeting the needs of your customers, and it helps your business run quite smoothly. At least it puts the systems in place that allows the business to really run smoothly. I liken a business to like a machine. When all the parts are oiled and they're working smoothly, you don't even hear it. But when it's not oiled, it hasn't been cared for, and you try to get that machine to turn, it just keeps getting caught up. You won't make progress. And there's nothing like the pain of being invested in a business that's not making it. It's very painful. And then with the external analysis, then we get to really look at, okay, what's happening externally? So right now we've had a credit crisis in this country, and people have lost a lot of their ability to use credit. in one way, it's a good thing. First of all, it's not a good idea to run a business on credit and credit alone. Yes, it's good to have the credit for the business so that you can grow it in key areas. Say if you needed to bring some cash in to bring a new product, or I was working with a client earlier today and they would really like to relocate to a different area of the country than they're currently in, even though things are working quite well for them. It's just a kind of a weather thing. They would be much happier personally moving their business elsewhere. And so we had a chat about that today, that he could certainly do that, but it would take some very careful planning in order for him to move his business across country and start fresh in a new location. First of all, you need between 6 months to a year to be able to support your business while you bring it back online to match where you've left it. So we talked about things like that. So that would be looking at the external environment, okay, which we did in our call today. We looked at the benefits of moving his company and the benefits of moving to this particular area as opposed to another area, because there were options. You know, what about this area, this area, this area? Well, he wants to position himself for success, and knowing the area also has affluence is a big draw for him to consider and to potentiate that idea. So what are some of the other areas that we could use the SWOT analysis for? Well, when we're thinking about growing our business, some of the things that we would want to ask ourselves, where are the important and or potentially important markets? What might be their size and growth characteristics? And when I say markets, it might mean the population that you're working with. What markets are declining? Like right now, if I step back and I look at our economic situation in the U.S., well, the auto industry hit a big bump, didn't it? Well, mainly we can't continue to manufacture automobiles that use fossil fuels. And so it hit a big glitch, and the auto industry had to step back and say, okay, in order for us to thrive and to move ahead, we've got to implement new technologies that will allow us to start moving away from fossil fuels into more fuel-efficient cars. Now, people are not going to give up driving cars, but it's imperative that we change the technology in the way that we're utilizing those cars, specifically in its fuel source, so that we can be better positioned as a culture and a society for the long-term health benefits of our planet and for us themselves. And so that auto industry is having to reevaluate, looking at their strengths, looking at the weaknesses. Where's the opportunity? Well, the opportunity is that we have more green thinkers now than we did 10 years ago. We have much more awareness about what's happening in the environment and how our past business practices, particularly our industry practices, has created a situation on the planet that is no longer healthy for any of us. So we see much more of a green consciousness coming into these industries today. So along with that kind of questioning, you would want to ask, what are the driving forces behind any of the sales trends as well? I remember years ago when I was working with Deepak Chopra, and we were in the startup phase of his business, and I was putting together the entire retail operations, and you know, I wanted to know, what are the trends? Where are people going with? Do they want to know more about stress reduction? Do they, you know, is Ayurveda really going to take off? Will this be a trend in the country? where people will learn how to better manage themselves with under the ideas and the understanding of doshas or five element theory? Is this something that people are going to easily embrace? So I was asking all of myself those questions as I was building the retail store and interfacing with Deepak and his knowledge and the doctors and things like that. And what I discovered was that stress reduction is always a number one. It doesn't matter whether you can reduce stress with the knowledge of Ayurveda or whether you use, reduce stress with the knowledge of Paul Check. It's what works for that individual. So what I discovered was that stress reduction is always going to be something that people want to know because they themselves have become stressed. Ayurveda, well, that's much more complex. It's not as easily adaptable by most Americans. And I could see, as I was building the store, that the Ayurvedic component wasn't as strong as all of the body-mind and the mind-body other components. And so the reason my store became so successful is because I didn't just focus on Ayurveda and Deepak Chopra. They were a very small part of my business. The rest of the business thrived because I was looking for the trends. I was looking for the gifts. I was looking for the books. I was looking for the audios that would allow people to de-stress in very unique ways, and that created the success of my business. So I had to step back. And so for you on the line, for you listening to this call, I invite you, if you're not sure about your business, you need to step back. And what I mean by stepping back, I mean stepping back and getting a bigger picture of your business and where it fits and the overall analysis of your community, where you want to grow it, what markets are declining, where are your profits, things like that. So with profitability, we want to think about, is this business leveraging to make the most money financially? Or if I introduce this new service, will this allow me to make money? Or will it take more money to launch this new product than I'll get in return? You want to also ask, how intense is the competition among existing companies that you're vying for the piece of the market share? Well, if you've got 10 really strong fitness companies or in the area and a chain of gyms, well, and your population of your community is just, 80,000 people, you will see that those of you that are competing, you're all going to know each other quite well. And you better know each other, because if you don't, somebody's going to have the competitive advantage, and hopefully it'll be you, if you can step back and really see where your competition is in relationship to where you are in the market. Along with that, you would want to evaluate the threats also from potential people coming in to the area. Now, we've all heard on the news over the years that anytime a Walmart, the big conglomeration of a super-sized store, moves into a community, they put the small mom-and-pop shops out of business. So in many communities now, before Walmart comes in, they have to bring this to the community and get community approval before they'll build a new Walmart. Very important. You would also want to know, what is the bargaining power of your suppliers and your customers? If your customers are living in an affluent area and they don't mind spending money, well, that's all more power to your business. But if you're in an area where the bargaining power of your customer is rather weak, then you will need to be aware of that, because if you're charging too much, you're not going to bring in a new customer. You're going to turn them away. So it's a cutting-edge sword here that you need to take a look at. And then also when you're analyzing your business, some of the other things that you might think about in terms of opportunities would be for brainstorming and for creativity would be, what could you add in terms of value-added components to your business that would set you apart from your competitors? Again, you'd go to your SWOT analysis, you'd look at your strengths, you'd look at your weaknesses, you'd look at your competitors' strengths and weaknesses. And then you would want to position yourself in the marketplace by providing these value-added aspects, whether they're services, bonuses, benefits of any sort, that would then to begin to distinguish you as different from your competitor and hopefully give you the competitive advantage. What are the trends in the market? A few years ago, I was part owner and manager of a wellness yoga studio in La Jolla, California. And yoga was really happening. Boy, it just everybody wanted to do yoga. So from a market standpoint, having a yoga studio / wellness studio / retail store did very well for me. Okay, if I was just doing wellness, and when I say a wellness studio, that also included massage services, it also included personal coaching, it also involved the holistic lifestyle component of similar to the HLC holistic lifestyle coaching that Paul Jack trains his students with. So we offered not only yoga classes, but we also offered functional fitness classes, mommy and me classes, wellness opportunities where people could take other kinds of classes. I held concerts there, music events, community events. Plus, I had a retail store. So from my perspective, it wouldn't have been enough to just have a yoga studio. A matter of fact, the yoga studios in the area, we began to put out of business. And the reason was that because we offered a lot more to our community and to our customers. And as a matter of fact, in La Jolla, we were voted number one yoga studio within the first year that we had opened. And I really wanted that award. I worked real hard and really trained my employees very, very well in their customer service so that we would get that award. And we really had a lot of support from the community, and it was really quite fun. So those are kinds of the things that you would want to think about as you're working your business. Okay? Now, trends come and go. So that's the other thing that you need to be aware of. How strong is the staying power of the trend? Well, yoga today is pretty well established. Three years ago, it was an upward trend. You know, all the magazines were just starting to get on the bandwagon. Well, now it's pretty mainstream. 3 years later, it's 5 years later, it's pretty mainstream now. And you can go just about anywhere, and you will see, even in hospitals, they're introducing yoga. So it's moved out of the, it's only something that the Eastern people do, it's only things that the hippies do, it's the only thing that, you know, people who are interested in metaphysics do. No, yoga is here to stay. It's a trend that is solidly here and being integrated into the awareness of the Western mind. And you see this all over the world, yoga. Yoga, yoga, yoga. Whereas Pilates hasn't taken off in quite the same way. So it's a real interesting distinction to kind of look at. And you would ask, well, why hasn't Pilates taken off? Well, there could be a lot of factors involved, you know, pricing, machines, whatever. It's very a niche market, and you know, the trainers have to be highly trained as well, and there could be a lot of different reasons. Yoga is easy. Everybody wants to learn it. Everybody wants to teach it. Everybody wants to offer it. As you go along with your analysis, you'd also want to look at your success factors. What are the key success factors, your assets and competencies needed to compete successfully? Do you have these identified? If so, what are they? And then the next question is, how will these change in the future? Okay? So what might position you for success today may not be able to be sustained over the 3-year and the 5-year strategic thinking as you look ahead. So you would want to really look at those things and ask yourself, what are my key factors? And are these competencies strong enough that they'll carry me for another 3 years or 5 years? Where, if they won't, if I can foresee that the market will change or that there's more of a demand for this particular skill set, will I capitalize that on that? Will I get the training that's needed that will give me that competitive edge? So in all of these areas that we look at, it's a powerful framework for capitalizing on our strengths and to exploiting those opportunities and then taking care of those threats or those weaknesses that might be holding us back, and especially might be holding us back from our business. So after you've kind of thought about this and used your quadrants, your matrix, to write these areas in, you might want to begin to then start to ask yourself, what is it that you have to address immediately? Okay? That starts to begin to build your short-range plan. What can I address immediately? What can be handled now? What needs further researching? What needs to be planned for in the future? Future might be a month. It might be 5 years. Future is arbitrary, but it is the future, and it will be here sooner than you think. Once you've identified, you should create an action plan to ensure that something is done. Okay, an action plan is you identify the action that you want, and you identify who's going to do the action, and then you identify the time frame in which the action is to be done in. And then you set your benchmark. I expect to have this action completed by myself by this date. And that's an action plan. It's pretty simple. And you work the plan. You work what you identify. Because if you don't work it, then you're not working your business. It's just an intellectual exercise that doesn't lead anywhere. So we really need to put these into action plans and then to begin to work those plans. Identify your objectives, set your deadlines and your responsibility. Review the results of your analysis regularly to determine if anything has changed and what has been achieved. The points to remember, use your SWOT analysis as a guide, but remember that it can be very subjective. So oftentimes it's important, if you're a solo entrepreneur especially, that you get some feedback. Get some feedback from people who you can trust and people who have business experience. If you don't, you may be not capitalizing on all of your resources that may be available for you. Another way to take this is, if you're inclined, is to do a mind map. Okay, for those of you who are more creative and don't like lists, you could set this up and do an actual mind map for it. So the steps again is, step one, we're in the here and now. You list all your strengths that can exist now, then in turn list all the weaknesses that exist now. Be realistic. Don't be modest. step to, what might be. List all opportunities that exist in the future. Opportunities are potential future strengths. Then, in turn, list all the threats that exist in the future. Threats are potential future weaknesses. So we want to head those off as quickly as we can identify them. Step 3, develop your plan of action. Review your SWOT matrix with a view to creating an action plan to address each of the 4 areas. Strengths, again, are those areas that make your business stronger. Weaknesses are the antithesis of the strengths. Opportunities are those things that have potential to make your business stronger, more enduring, and more profitable. Threats are those things that have the potential to adversely affect your business. Now that you know what your strengths and weaknesses are, you can apply some good strategic thinking to formulate strategies to overcome them so that you can pursue opportunities. Knowing your weaknesses can help you establish a defensive plan to prevent your weaknesses from making your business particularly susceptible to external threats. In summary, strengths need to be maintained, built upon, or leveraged. Weaknesses need to be remedied or stopped. Opportunities need to be prioritized and optimized, and threats need to be countered or minimized. As you go through the process, think about each item before the completion of the process, and once you have completed it, celebrate. It's always important that I find it for myself that as each little step that I make in my business, the time component, the energy, the thinking, once I've completed something, it is a cause for celebration. No matter how small the step or how big the milestone, it's a cause for celebration. That's how I reward myself for meeting my own benchmark. Once you identify those components, then you write down your strategy and work them. But in the end, pat yourself on the back and know that you've done a great job. You've done the very best. And here's a tool that you can use in any ways that you begin to do any kind of planning in your business or for yourself personally. So use the SWOT analysis as a guide and get some feedback. And if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer it now.
Vidya, this sounds like something that even if you don't have your own business yet, but maybe you're thinking of going into your own business, this could be something that's helpful in preparing to start a new business as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. This is critical. Because a lot of people going into new businesses, or if they're starting a business, they come with a lot of enthusiasm. Oh, I'm going to start my own business, and they have dreams of being successful and working for themselves, and you know, oh, the freedom and all of this. And when we're starting a new business, there are so many components of the business that are often overlooked by the novice who doesn't have a lot of business experience running their own business,
mm-hmm.
that it can be quite overwhelming. And and I've worked with people like that. I've had clients who have come to me in transition. I don't want to work for this in this industry anymore. I want to start my own business. Oh, really? Well, we do an analysis. Do you have what it takes to actually manage and run your own business?
Mm-hmm.
Even they might score high on that part. And so we start going through the process, and I've worked with a few people who a year down the road, you know, as we've actually developed their business, they have a solid business, now they just need to work their business, they pull out and say, you know what, this is way more than I'm really comfortable doing, and I appreciate the experience and the learning on all of this, but I'm really clear, I do not want to be in business for myself.
Yeah.
And it happens, and it happens frequently. It
yeah.
takes a very special person to go into business for yourself. And the other thing I might say about that is that if we can identify right off the bat what one's strengths are and what one's weaknesses is, then we can mitigate the anxiety and the stress of trying to be everything, wear all hats, because that's not even realistic. Instead, what is realistic is saying, okay, these are weaknesses. We can work with those by providing other kinds of resources or people that can help you so that you can do what you're best at doing. And that's really what provides the real fun in running and working your own business, is that you're giving the very best of you.
Great, yeah. And just sticking with the theme about starting a new business, I imagine, too, that this could be a good place, a starting place, or an important component of a more comprehensive business plan as well.
Oh, absolutely. as I said, this is a tool that helps us. When we're writing our business plan, there's so many different components of the business plan, but, we want to identify in our business plan what our strengths are, what the opportunities are, what the threats are, and what our weaknesses are. It's part of the business plan, actually. Mm-hmm. And in the business plan, once it's embedded and, it's often embedded in part of the marketing aspect of the plan. So mm-hmm. the marketing plan uses this quite often. And so once we establish this and we start working our plan, we would want to, in the beginning stages, we want to revisit this as quickly as we can mitigate threats or capitalize on our opportunities that are coming our way. So say we can see what threats are out there and we can see what opportunities are. Well, we would want to set our benchmark for achieving the goals and mitigating those threats, and we would want to set our benchmarks in achieving and capitalizing on the opportunities. So once we meet those benchmarks, we've reached that goal. Well, we know that as soon as we have a gap, there are new goals that will come up, and there will often be new goals that will come up in the process of resolving the issues that are holding us back or engaging in the activities that are going to capitalize on the opportunities at hand. So it's like business is like a living, breathing organism, and it needs to be fed, it needs attention, and we need to work it so that we keep it clean, so that it continues to flow and bring energy in and move things out. It's just like an organism, like a cell. We've got to bring healing, clear, water into our cells so that we can move waste out. And the SWOT analysis gives us that visual tool so we can really see what we need to let go of, what we can bring in, where we can capitalize on our strengths, and where we can set ourselves into a more success track if we can perceive any kinds of threats.
Great. Well, I don't want to monopolize all of your time here, especially if we have anybody who's with us that has questions for you.
Is there anybody else? Clinton, do you have any comments, or has this class been helpful for you in running your business? Can you see for yourself what areas of your business might benefit from this process?
Absolutely. I just I've been listening and taking notes the whole time here, feverishly. And I guess the big thing is I've been going for 2 years, and it's funny because you talk about doing this before, possibly even before you start. So largely running without a strategy here is it's worked, but I know it can work a lot better, and I think that this is a very useful tool and some really good ideas to sort of streamline and improve what I've built for the last 2 years. So I'm really excited about implementing some of this stuff.
Oh, great. I'm excited for you. I wish you the best of business success, and ultimately, that business success leads to our sense of personal success and competency too. So I wish that very best to you, Clinton.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Well, I think this is a wonderful place to conclude for the night. Vidya, thank you very much for taking the time out to join us. I really appreciate it. And I know that our listeners, whether they're with us live tonight or listening to the recording, will certainly get a lot out of this.
Well, great. It's been my pleasure. And everyone, you have a pleasant night. And any of you that feel inspired to provide some feedback, if you apply this tool to your and this knowledge and this class to your own business life, I'd love to hear from you and hear about your successes. And, of course, if you have any challenges, you're more than welcome to email me as well at vidya@paulcheck.com.
Great. Yeah, that's wonderful, Vidya. And, of course, I want to encourage anyone that feels as though they could benefit from Vidya's coaching to have a look at her mentor profile on our website at www.ppssuccess.com. And you can find her profile in the PPS Mentoring Services section once you're there.
Thank you, James.
You're welcome. And thanks again for joining us. And we're going to have another wonderful teleclass next week, next Tuesday. We'll be joined by PPS mentor Paul Cech Jr., who's going to be talking about how to eat like a king on a tight budget. That's May 12th at 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. So I hope that everybody who's listening to us will join us then, too.
Oh, I can't wait to listen to that class. I know it'll be great.
Well, anything that tells me how to eat like a king, I'm there for it.
Yeah, exactly. And he's got some really cool things that he's going to share. So,
fantastic. Well, thanks again, Vidya, and thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight. And I look forward to hearing everybody next week.
Thank you, James. Have a great night.
I will.
Great night to everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.